to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Thank you. Hey, good morning. Good God morning, Columbia CSL, and welcome to all of you joining in. So why are we here? Why are you here? You know, whether it's to count our blessings or find some, I think we're drawn into a place and space where exists a field of infinite potential and connect to that within, the nature of all being. To connect with that sacredness of who we are. As we continue to explore this month's theme, emotion and the power of affirmative prayer, we come to address becoming, I love how Theta said, our wizardry, right? Becoming a wizard of cause, which to me means developing a mindset which thinks and acts in that certain way. A way in which we feel the creative power of the universe right at hand. A sense of life we extend outward that sustains our hope and inspires us to take up the call to consciously awaken our spiritual magnificence and enjoy our human journey. Now, I know all that's a mouthful and perhaps too ideal in the hearing, perhaps within which is a spark, however, of truth that is felt and can't be denied by the ear. Now, regardless of where each of us is as travelers, one thing is for sure, it is an emotional ride. The bridge from sensing life is about surviving, which I think certainly we all are responsible to get those basic needs met. But the bridge from believing it's about surviving to creating a thriving experience or existence is unique to each of us. And it takes, however, a common human perseverance, faith, and as Theta sang, she pulled the words, surrender. She said, surrender to the spiritual intelligence, which is sourced right within, right where we are. I think we in general are geared, however, to survive first and not thrive. The spiritual inner work is often considered indulgent and non-essential, as most of its byproducts and services out there are often reduced in price and found at a very low price point compared to other things that are deemed valuable. You know, I remember a former board member of mine 20 some years ago. I remember he said in frustration, he said, Nadine, why don't folks give more in the plate for their spiritual nourishment? You know, it seems they value a meal or a movie so much more. And I responded, you know, it's just that we've been led to believe that our value lies in having and doing and not being. That's all, you know, and it takes a while to shift collectively that consciousness. I think our minds, of course, are trained by media and marketing to see value where it's not, and no value when it is imperative that learning self-compassion, inner peace, and self-responsibility, and other inner self-care practices will set our priorities straight. You know, we have grown up trained as masters of effects, illusionists, of the vanishing and reappearing conditions and hanging our hats on the image we carefully craft in doing so. Being instead a wizard of cause, spending our time accessing, contemplating, visioning, visualizing, and using our greatest gift, affirmative prayer, are the means by which we become permanently connected to all life as conscious creators of our own reality in the face of life happening around it, us as it is. As masters of effects, we develop, I think, our identity by outer relational communications, right? Not inner ones. And let our inner relationship with self simply become a byproduct of our responses, our reactions, our judgments to that which affirms this identity. As a master of effects, that illusionist, we live to survive, exhibiting survival behaviors, mindsets, decision-making processes, goals, and priorities that are all created based upon how we show up more than who we are when we are showing up. I love it. I've said it a million times, Eckhart Tolle saying, if the quality of our consciousness creates our reality, what creates the quality of our consciousness? When we're geared to survive, we are led by our ego. And when we begin to ask the why question one too many times, it's then we can awaken to observe that we are very good at spiritual bypass, at building codependent relationships that enable others. And we take on more responsibility than what is ours to do. Further to this, we will discover that we are not being in integrity with our own values, the values of our soul, right? That emanate from our spiritual truth. Now, I'm certain that not one of us listening does not relate to the afore described in part. I know I do. Spiritual bypass. And it is time, I think, to become, or at least explore, becoming a wizard of cause and let the role of the master of effects take a break, a long break. It is time to do whatever is asked of us as we listen to divine guidance, trust our gut, honor our innate intuitive sense, embrace emotions, throw off the shackles of outer authority, and begin thriving. Right. As a wizard of cause, we're programming ourselves to be inspired by the intention to discover and reveal our true spiritual nature. This, in turn, allows us to engage in the world of effects or conditions as our guide to a life rich in happiness, love, and success. When we're geared to thrive, we are so much clearer on what is ours to do for our highest and best, and we build the courage to do that. You know, because we do learn that the highest and best for me does not exclude others, no matter the immediate response or reaction we may get from others. Emotional ride? You bet it is. You know, when we learn to course correct to the direction of thinking and acting that serves our soul essence, our spiritual true nature, a lot changes and can change quickly, leaving both us, the intender, and those in relationship with us, in a feeling that's ungrounded, maybe uncomfortable in communication with us in the beginning, and can initially give way to feelings of vulnerability and separation. And that's really hard for us to watch because we often think we've done something wrong or we've hurt someone, but it couldn't be farther from the seed of our intention. You know, these changes can seem out of the blue and leave us, the intender, also feeling very lost and isolated, right? Always building bridges, are we, right? From this idea of surviving to thriving, so much we need to let go of. You know, we're headed to a life of thriving beyond managing, beyond creative financing, and behaviors of fight and flight or withdrawal. And at the same time, we strongly feel the need to just grab on to these old ways to feel grounded, if only for a moment. Do it. But just know that we can't go back. You know, once we hear the call, once we start awakening to what is possible, we can't unhear it, right? Once consciousness has expanded in our own mind, it cannot shrink. That is not the process of conscious evolution or expansion towards greater expression and experience. So feeling like we've been dropped in a void, we must learn to play in the void. Fortunately, in metaphysical teachings, we know that God or infinite mind does not know a void, doesn't recognize a pause from ongoing action from the universal creative law of mind. And it is precisely at this point of awareness we realize that playing in the void means setting to pray affirmatively. That's the moment, merging our mental state in the expansion of infinite intelligence where all exists already. Right? It is precisely at this point, because we must take action in addition to working on the mental and spiritual plane in prayer, such as letting others handle themselves so that we do not get distracted from what it is we need to do and be, to reveal taking greater responsibility for creating a thriving life. So let us not get distracted by the projections of our survival mentality on the other and spin the wheel of judgment and blame and defensiveness or justification, but instead pray, affirming our capacity to simply, lovingly, directly share our truth. I think that is all that is I think that's all that's really required. I want to share a personal story with you. The last 4, 5, 6 weeks, I've attracted several energy workers. And you know, you may have guessed, you might not have guessed, or maybe you're meeting me for the first time, but you know, I've always operated on this idea that I need to be strong. I need to take great responsibility in my life, and I need to prove my capacity, right? So I thought, you know what? I think I need to take a breath, take a pause, reevaluate, and do more spiritual practice, you know, amp it up. And in that, these people I attracted, and they were offering just to support me. And I went, okay. So in one of my sessions, I became aware of the need, as I just shared, above all else, to prove my strength and capacity to others. I thought, but then I realized it. It was to prove it to myself. Why? Well, most importantly now, as I'm aging, so that I still feel relevant, valuable, and gifted. I further discovered that when I get into the survival state of ego mind, I blind myself to other options. Does that happen to you? Such as I said, stepping back and asking questions like, hey, what would happen if I didn't need to prove my strength and capacity? Would I lose something or would I gain something? You know, for years I lived unaware that I got into the state, you know, for the validation and acceptance of others. And now that I have this awareness that it is my own validation I am seeking, I again turn to the divine within to speak truth and be the cause of a preferred experience of choice. You know, the choice I'm talking about is where I do set boundaries, you know, but they're about self-honor, not self-protection, where feeling uncomfortably vulnerable for me has turned into an opportunity to be self-attentive, where I can just accept as I am because I am enough, because I exist. You know, I think our relationships with others and with ourselves and with the God of our understanding are all a mirror of past and current beliefs, right? And this is where we get to practice setting new intention and new belief patterns that move us into the experience of thriving in life. As we form a sacred union in spirit, as both a feeling and knowing, and through our intentional demonstrations, it all begins becoming clear about what we desire and intent, right? And our emotions are, of course, byproducts really of a deep feeling, right? A feeling sense. And what we're looking for in affirmative prayer is to feel, to embody the truth that everything we could possibly desire or want to shift in order to thrive in life is already fulfilled, right? Because everything has already been given. Everything already exists for the, in the old terminology, asking, in our terminology, for declaring as true, right? And it's ours to understand how we feel as this embodiment is true, as our desire is fulfilled. How are we going to act, believing that we've already received? You know, for the law to work for us most effectively, we need to develop a wizard's mentality and be clear about what is behind the thing. What is behind? What is the cause, the mental cause behind the thing or the condition we are experiencing? Right. Here's a story that illustrates exactly to me what is behind the thing, what is behind the condition before us. So it goes like this. In a small town, it's an Italian town, hundreds of years ago, a small business owner owed a large sum of money to, what did they call them? Loan sharks, right? Those that charge exorbitant interest on money when you're in need. So now this loan shark was a very old guy that just so happened to fancy the business owner's daughter. Now, he decided to offer the businessman a deal that would completely wipe out the debt he owed him. However, the catch was that he would only wipe out the debt if he could marry the businessman's daughter. And of course, by the father, this proposal was met with a look of great disgust. The loan shark said he would place two pebbles into a bag, one white and one black. The daughter would then have to reach into the bag to pick out a pebble. If it was black, the debt would be wiped, but the loan shark would then marry her. If it was white, the debt would also be wiped, but the daughter wouldn't have to marry him. So standing on a pebble-strewn path in the businessman's garden, the loan shark bent over and picked up two pebbles. Whilst he was picking them up, the daughter noticed that he'd picked up two black pebbles and placed them both into the bag. Such a master of effects. He then asked the daughter to reach into the bag and pick one. The daughter naturally had three choices as to what she could have done. Refuse to pick a pebble from the bag. Take both pebbles out of the bag and expose the loan shark for cheating, or pick a pebble from the bag, fully well knowing it was black, and sacrifice her for her father's freedom. Well, she drew out a pebble from the bag and before looking at it, accidentally dropped it into the midst of the other pebbles, saying, "Oh, how clumsy of me. Never mind. If you look into the bag for the one that is left, you will be able to tell which pebble I picked." Well, the pebble left the bag. It left in the bag was obviously black. And seeing as the loan shark didn't want to be exposed, he had to play along as if the pebble the daughter dropped was white and clear her father's debt. Well, the moral of the story, I'm sure you've already figured it out for yourself as relevant. It's always possible to overcome a tough situation through out-of-the-box thinking and not give in to the only options you think you have to pick from. This, to me, clearly illustrates moving from having a mindset of a master of effects to a wizard of cause. This is thinking outside the box by practicing affirmative prayer, which leads us to serve God in a way that identifies our mental cause hidden in pure sight, or even if it's deeply embedded in the shadows of our subconscious. This is key. As for every condition in life, there exists a creative mental pattern of belief as it's caused. You know? And I realize that you have prayed many times in life and become discouraged. And so you think perhaps that prayer doesn't work or you're not doing it right. So it is definitely a training in a new way of connection with the spiritual source of all life that lives and is accessed right within you. And it's called affirming that which already is. Declaring that which we decide is true is already within our experience, within our grasp. Right? It's declaring that we are magnificent, not limited. So it's a real mind shift, but that shift over time will create for us a mindset that leans into wizardry, right? Leans into the opportunity to know truth about who we are, what is happening, others, despite the feeling or emotion that may be coming up triggered from something past or some belief that is opposing it. So to pray affirmatively is to use prayer as a declaration, a confirmation, a commandment. It's not a form of begging or asking for relief, because that presents us as a victim of our circumstances, and that is not part of our source connection. Remember, we can't be a victim and a powerful co-creator at the same time, right? Prayer is an affirmation of our connection to source, a confirmation of our potential, and a commandment that we use to move energy in new directions, frequencies, and vibrations. This feeling of ascension or expansion is a journey into divine congruence, which is a process of moving from healing cycles to wholeness and multidimensionality. Now, healing, or as I like to refer to it as wholing, is a very important part of ascension, but every healing cycle must end, and using powerful prayer affirms the closure with limitation, powerlessness, fear, and victim consciousness. And as we awaken, we creatively use this potential to also awaken new possibilities in our field of potential in the world we live in. So use prayer as a declaration of your creative power, right? Use prayer to command energy to move, not to wish for relief. Know that each prayer is always heard and always answered in the right time and under the right circumstances. And when it is prayed with trust as an affirmation of our power and our co-creative connection to source. So when we're moving from survival to thrival, we are doing so by measure of choosing to live a spiritual life. We can recognize in places our own process or of evolution or of spiritual evolution. And I always like to use Dr. Michael Beckwith's four stages of spiritual growth to kind of connect in a moment. Oh, where am I now, right? Stage one, he says, we think that life does it to me, right? Stage two, life does it by me. I'm a little more involved in what happens in the condition of my life. Stage three, he says that life does it through me. So now I'm conscious of the connection with spirit, right? And stage four, life does it as me. Life does it as me. This is where we trust ourselves and listen to our intuition. You know, we're the sacred witness to our lives, seeing the divine potential existing in all. And we live in present moment awareness and deep, deep gratitude, silence, stillness, nurturing nature become part of our everyday. We learn to practice the acts of selfless service and the art of giving unconditionally. Here, when we know life does it as me, or God is expressing as me, we know our love and supply is sourced within, and we walk in life unattached to outcomes and reactions, and carry within our mind and heart cheerful expectancy for our good. We honor the divine in all and can live well in the world by realizing our connection to it without letting our focus or our attention divert from the one power. So as we use prayer to firmly establish the divine in our lives, so our prayer becomes a tool for both setting intention, trusting the divine unfoldment of the universal creative process, and how we are showing up and manifesting our heaven on earth. Now, you probably know from the title that I might just break out into song. And so we're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. We know we are. We know we are a whiz of a whiz, if ever a whiz there was, if ever, oh, ever a whiz there was, the Wizard of Oz is one because of the wonderful things we does. Oh, we're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. So thriving isn't about living lives in a way whereby we identify ourselves as the co-creator of our reality, all of it. Yes, it is about that, every last piece of it. So let's play in the quantum field of possibility as our sandbox. Let's give ourselves a space to think and act creatively and become empowered in the being of the energy of that which we desire. Thriving is about identifying ourselves as cause, not effect. Thriving in life is not a matter of who do we serve, the God self or the ego self. As we have learned, we must serve both to feel spiritually connected. But thriving is a matter of being clear on which one we let lead. You are a blessing, and so it is.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.